What a tough, tough loss. Man, that was, we kept checking the scores. There comes a point where you're like listening, you're like, is it better if I don't listen? Are you superstitious at all, Andre, when it comes to Blackhawks or other teams?
I used to be the first year that they, when we got him on WGN and then they won the cup, I wore, it's this really cool kind of, it sounds dorky, but it was kind of like a velour sort of Hawks. It's red and
that.
White. It's super cool.
Velour is the most lovely material.
I know. It's just so soft, you know? So I just threw it on and then they won. And then they won again. So I would kind of just keep it at the station and wear it during the games.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ended up losing. So.
Oh, well, then that's bad luck. You must burn that piece
of
clothing.
Yeah, I think I give it to my mom.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was more sweet.
Do you ever do that? You like something you feel is bad luck for you, you give to somebody else?
Yeah,
right.
Or you don't want it anymore. You're like, oh, go ahead. You can have this.
Yeah, this is great. I don't want to see this ever again.
Do you do anything like that?
I don't know if I have anything that's super. I'm more of a sentimental hoarder, I guess. I think there are a lot of people who just hold on to things. I have this idea that someday we will make a quilt out of all the boys' like childhood t-shirts.
Oh yeah,
But I have boxes of their quilt material. You know, because they have companies that do it for you. You could do it like if you have favorite like concert shirts. Like Michael, I don't know if you collect concert shirts, but there are companies you send the whole box of shirts to, and they'll make a blanket for you out of it.
Oh, that's kind of cool,
right? Do you have concert shirts, Michael?
Absolutely. I have so many concert shirts. There's about 10 years of my life that I wore nothing but concert shirts and jeans.
Would you want to make that? Well, I don't know about the jeans. That would be a weird blanket.
Yeah.
But maybe you could. Like, maybe that's comfy. A connective. Very comfy.
Yeah.
But would you do that? I keep meaning to.
I probably would, especially with something like that, because you don't want to give them away. I mean, because now they're vintage shirts. Now they're kind of cool.
Yeah, but do you wear some of your old things?
I do.
Well, there you go.
I do have old concert t-shirts that, not from, you know, not that old, you know, probably within the last 10 years or so I would wear.
I want to turn some of the things that we have into something else. You know, we were lucky because this year, the woman from Luma 8.
Yes,
we gave her all of the boys Halloween costumes.
Oh, that's so cool.
So we blew through all those. We had our, you know, obviously we celebrated yesterday, and then today we went to all of the clearance sales.
Oh, and bought new stuff.
We bought all kinds of, we bought some decorations. I've got ideas. I showed you some of my ideas for next year's makeup.
That, your makeup, by the way, I don't know if people saw it on your Instagram or our Facebook page. It was so cool and so scary. And we ran into, a mutual friend of ours texted me. She's like, I saw Patty and her makeup was insane. It was so cool.
Well, I didn't realize because you forget that you have it on and everyone, like people didn't know who I was. How could that? I just felt so strange.
No. When you look at it, you cannot tell it's you.
I was weird because everyone kept like staring at me. I'm like, it's Patty.
Right. They're like, I think we know you. Should we be scared?
It was. And did you see how many wardrobe changes they went through with Stephanie? They were the...
Yes.
The what was it from Greece? The Pink Ladies?
They were the Pink Ladies, and then they were Under the Sea.
Yes.
And then she was something else. She had
a bunch of costume changes.
Yeah.
There was a whole stack of costumes where, see, Walter sits in that big common area, and I walk by, I'm like, maybe Walter should just put all these on and just wear all of them, because there was just this massive pile of costumes, and the folks at Chicago Costume were very generous with all of those.
That is cool.
A lot of fun.
They are always so, so generous with their costumes.
They are. I kind of want to, I think one of the reasons Steve and I were running around to all the Halloween stores, one, to kind of gear up, you know, things are between 50% and 75% off at some of those locations.
That's so awesome. Now's the time to get it.
It is. But we also like holding on to it. We celebrated the Dia de los Muertos today. And we were supposed to watch Coco. But okay. Andrea, I convinced my family to watch the second episode of Haunting of Hill House.
Fantastic.
Yes and no.
Did they like it?
I forgot the second episode is all in the morgue.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That is scary.
Well, it's scary and it's also gross.
It is.
When Shirley is, you know, taking care of some work.
Yes.
And on a corpse. And you forget. I mean, and they're very matter of fact. Obviously, people who work in the industry, you know, they have a bag of organs that they throw on the floor. And you're
like, you know,
and they peel back the skull. And then they.
Yeah.
So, and here's my mom and my son sitting on the couch. I'm like, no, any minute now. It'll be fine. You guys can open your eyes. Any minute now.
Yeah.
You can open.
Soon. I have a friend who's a mortician. It was her family business, and now she takes it over. She's kind of her name's Angela Anello. She travels, you know, so if someone wants her to perform work on the north side, she does that. She works on the south side, so she works out of her car, obviously, a lot.
Right.
Oh my God, Patty, it's so funny because she's one of the coolest, most down-to-earth.
I was gonna say, does she like her job?
She loves her job, and she has the funniest stories. Like, she's got a van, of course, because this is her job. And kind of like what you're describing, she's not walking around with, you know, but it's makeup, of course, because she never knows when she'll be called into, you know, make up a body.
Right, fix them. Remember that Shirley's thing?
To fix them.
You fixed her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she's got these... they're like pulleys kind of in her car in case she needs to transport someone
right.
from here to there. But it's just so funny, you know. So she, I think it was like she had a flat tire or something like that. And she was pulled over and or she was trying to, a guy stopped and tried to help her. And he's like, oh, my God, what do you have these body bags for in your bag?
Because
you okay
bodies.
There? Yeah. So she's like, yeah, trying to explain it to people.
Yeah.
But she just has the best stories.
What got her into being a mortician?
Her family.
It was a family business.
It was her family business. Yeah.
Really? Because I'm curious. Watching that part of The Haunting of Hill House, I wonder what that, I mean, I watched 6 Feet Under. And when my father, actually 6 Feet Under started, I think around the time when my father was sick, I had to pre-plan because we knew that it might be, and they were devastated because I didn't, when I walked into Colonial Funeral Home on Milwaukee Avenue, I didn't realize they knew my dad from the Dunkin' Donuts like a couple doors down.
Oh my God.
And I came in and I talked, he goes, not Larry. And I go, I have to, I go, the hospitals told me to prepare ourselves.
Right.
And, but it was at the same time 6 Feet Under was on, and there was something about that show, I think, and it must have happened for a lot of people, where it did sort of demystify it,
mm-hmm.
you know, where
it's
it normalized it.
Yeah.
So I was curious. It, you know, for people who aren't born into it, like your friend, what kind of an industry is that right now? I mean, like, how do people pursue that?
Right. You know, we should have her on some night because
I would
Patty,
love that.
Truly, we'll have her on
yes.
because she has the best stories. You know, because I mean, when we get together, so it, you know, it's myself and we have cool stories, you know, like you do, you know, your talk show host. And everyone has their different
sure.
stories. But she is just, she's captivating when she talks and, you know, she'll just tell, and it's not all, you know, it's not making fun, of course, but,
right.
you know, you try and find the humor in situations that are...
Yeah. Gallows you know, humor.
Yeah, you know, right. she told the story about, there was a man who had passed away and she had fixed him and he was a big golfer. So his grandson put a little golf ball up next to, you know, the pillow where his head was laying, and
oh boy.
And the golf ball kind of, you know, went down into the bottom. So every time someone would go up, and it would either, it would like, you hear clunk, clunk the whole time.
Oh boy.
She's like, how do I get that golf ball out of the can?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's kind of thing where you're like, do I just put like some Velcro? Like,
I know.
Double-sided tape?
She's
what
like,
do you do?
I never thought a golf ball. And of course, they're moving it, and then they take it to the church, and then the whole time it's like, clunk,
oh boy.
Clunk.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. It has made me curious again. Does she have to do all the kind of work, do you think, that shirt, like the cutting open and...
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And the embalming, and yes.
I wondered about that. There has to be obviously like some form of medical training for that, or?
Yeah, I don't want to miss. I don't want to misspeak. Yeah,
yeah,
I want to say yes, but something
I'm sure
to do
licensing
with,
and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I didn't mean to go down that path.
No, no, no.
It's slightly fascinating to me.
I think so too.
More than that. Do you remember and I don't want to get dark, and I don't want to open anything for anybody that might be painful, but my first funeral I ever went to, I was 8 years old, a little girl in my neighborhood. Neighborhood was my age had been hit by a car and killed at the intersection of Milwaukee and Devon.
Oh God!
You know right where there's
by the Superdogs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There used to be a Burger King where there's now a bank. So right now there's a Subway, a Dunkin' Donuts, and then a bank. And that bank used to be the Burger King. And she had been at the store with her mom, and they didn't have a bathroom, so she was just cutting where there was no light.
Oh, wow.
She'd run across the street to go to the bathroom at Burger King and was struck by a car. And a bunch of us, and it was, I don't know why our parents, it was that kind of time in Chicago where, you know, 8 and 9 year olds just walked around by themselves. And
oh, sure.
We're just going to go to this funeral. We went to Annette's funeral, and
it
was, and there was a little boy running around telling us all, like, all the things that the mortician had to do, and like how she was dancing. I mean, and I had to stay home from school after that.
Oh yeah, you're 8 years old.
I didn't. Yeah, I know. My poor parents were like, I don't even know if they knew where I was going. It's such a strange time.
Yeah,
I was a latchkey kid,
mm-hmm.
so maybe I didn't tell them where I was going, or I don't know. But
and they got worried.
Oh, it was. I didn't understand. Here's this. You know, I touched her in the casket.
Oh my God! And for an 8 year old.
Yeah, that was
weird.
Oh, it feels very strange. That was my first one. Do you remember the first?
I think I remember when my grandma passed away when I was about 8 years old. And I remember crying and being very sad because I loved my grandma. She was so much fun. And she would make like Sanka on the stove. You know,
Sanka!
Remember Sanka the coffee?
Remember it. My mom still makes Sanka.
Does she?
Yes.
I used to love the Sanka.
Sanka. Oh, they still make it. My mom loves instant coffee.
Can I have coffee with your mom?
Absolutely.
Oh, God, that's so much fun.
Yes.
So she would do that. And I remember she passed away. And again, you're 8 years old, right? So I guess it must have been my cousins and I were in the back playing.
Sure.
And we were kind of running around with each other. And my dad came back and he went, you know, kid, stop. He said, this is very serious. You know, Nana passed away. And then I felt really bad. That we were like having fun and playing in the back and running around.
That's too bad. That's your memory of it, that you felt like you'd done something wrong.
Yeah, I did. I thought, oh,
Andrea,
God.
I'm going to tell 8-year-old Andrea you didn't do anything wrong.
Thank you, Patty.
No, Nana wants you to have fun.
I know. Nana does want me to have fun.
She does.
And have Sanka.
Right now she does. She wants you to have Sanka with my mom.
I know.
Like
It's like meant for me to have coffee with your mom.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I want. Speaking of coffee, when we come back, it is a strange time. Halloween is, it's so bizarre. It's the kickoff for Christmas.
I know.
Why?
I know.
Thanksgiving. Let's give a little time to Thanksgiving.
Do you decorate your house for like the fall or for Thanksgiving?
Let's talk about that when we come back. Okay. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Give us a call or text us at 312-981-7200. Answer Andrea's question. Do you decorate for Thanksgiving in the autumnal? Do you put a cornucopia? Do you have an inflatable turkey on your lawn? We want to know. 312-981-7200. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Andrea asked a very important question. It's only important because my family was debating it this evening in regards to decorating for Thanksgiving in the autumn season. Are you decorating for the autumn season?
Here, so what I do is I don't do a ton of decorations. I have a little pumpkin patch of different, you know, pumpkins I've collected over the years. But I'll take all of the scary things down, like the witches and the skulls. Then I have a little Dia de los Muertos skull. So I'll take the skeletons and the witch, you know, kind of themes down and leave up the pumpkin and the leaves and the kind of the autumn look to it.
Which, by the way, these colors this season, have you noticed how spectacular everything looks?
They're beautiful.
The sunset was gorgeous. Everything had this beautiful shade of like reds and orange and pinks and yellows. So the first step for the Thanksgiving decorations is to turn our jack-o'-lanterns around.
Okay.
So they're no longer jack-o'-lanterns. They're just pumpkins.
Neat.
We have the hay bale already for Thanksgiving, which was already there for Halloween.
Excellent.
So we have, for Halloween, we have an inflatable cat. We don't do we have two inflatables.
The big head? The big head?
Just he's on a bush and he looks like he's got like, you know, really sharp teeth and looks somewhat menacing, but not too scary for little kids.
Right.
So we only have two inflatables. We have that cat and then we have a snowman called Winston who will obviously come up after Thanksgiving. So today we were debating whether or not, because we saw a lot of people on the northwest side with big turkeys and they'd already put them up.
Yeah.
The problem with inflatables is that during the day you just have like turkey corpses. Because everyone just let them deflate.
Yeah, they just lay
there.
It's
like they just sort of deflate it.
I like them called turkey corpses.
I believe Rick Geezer was the one that might have told me that he doesn't like inflatables. We had a neighbor for Halloween one year who just they had to be 10 inflatables like Frankenstein and vampires and Snoopies and ghosts and all these different things. And it was a lot. It was a lot. So I think that subtlety is the way to go with these things.
I do.
If you want to be cute about it. So we did want to get, we were going online and looking, there was one that was like a giant drumstick, which I thought
that's cute. like a big turkey leg.
Right. And then there was there were two inflatable pilgrims. And I thought, well, this is getting weird. And then, like, this is two humans standing on our front lawn.
Yeah.
So we're not sure which way to go. But there was a really cute Mickey Mouse with a banner that says Happy Thanksgiving that I thought I would get because it's cute.
It's cute. Yeah.
It's cute. I don't know. It's not necessary. But I do think I want to do it only because we do skip right past it.
Right.
Right? We just go hurtling towards
Christmas and the holidays. Yeah.
Well, Starbucks already came out with their Christmas cups.
I know. Can you believe that?
I know.
I think they should wait till December. I mean, I love Starbucks and I will drink Starbucks. But, you know, like you said, give it maybe have like an orange cup.
Right.
For November and then do the red.
Little ruby red and orange. You know? Did you see the Christmas cups, by the way?
I did. I put them on Facebook. They're super cute.
I can't tell you any of my thoughts about that red splattery one. I might have sent them inappropriate
photo. Oh,
I was like, this just looks weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not really a way to describe what I thought, but I don't. And then there's a green one with, I guess, Christmas stars on it.
Yep. And then there's just plain red. And then I really like this one. It's white and it's got holly and ivy kind of wrapped around it. That's a pretty one.
That one's kind of pretty. Yeah. Now, do you think people are going to be upset because it's not Christian enough?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks super festive to me. red and green. And
they look kind of simple, like elegant.
Yeah,
you
they
know?
Are kind of elegant. That's nice. I think they're nice. I don't think people should get offended. I think if you want to say Merry Christmas, say Merry Christmas. If you want to say Happy Holidays, say Happy Holidays.
You're lucky people want to be nice.
I know. Well, exactly.
You know? Why be unkind to kindness?
Right.
It's weird.
And why start nitpicking at things, you know?
It's unnecessary. Although, I guess, I'm sure there are other aspects of life where I do the same thing.
Yeah, but sure I do too.
Did you hear about Al Roker getting grief about dressing up as Doc Brown from Back to the Future? Al Roker dressed up as Doc Brown, and people were like, oh, well, that's, you know, if white people can't be black characters, why can black people be white characters? And Al Roker very simply responded that I'm using the elements of Doc Brown. I didn't paint myself white.
He didn't at all. And, he had the Christopher Lloyd hair.
Right.
And the lab coat.
Right. And be the characters from Black Panther. Just don't put on blackface. Right. And it's not that hard. But I would say one of the nice things is that what a great moment in history where there are people who do want to be black characters. Like, that's something to celebrate.
Isn't that cool?
As long as you're not, you know, doing the blackface and it just shouldn't be that hard.
No, I know.
But
he didn't
put white paint. I mean, I put white on my face, but I was a skull and you're supposed to do that.
Right.
Right. Was I white appropriating?
You were. Oh, my God. Your costume is so good. I like my favorite part, though. Are the teeth?
Yeah, I wanted to spend more time, but if I had done the makeup the way I wanted to, it would be right now. We would not have gone trick or treating.
Yeah.
I would have walked in and makeup, be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "It's Dia de los Muertos, and my sons have missed Halloween."
Hey, I have a question. When you put all that makeup on, how do you? Is it just okay? So it's paint. Does it take a lot to get it off? It does.
I
mean, is it like the makeup remover, the hardcore stuff?
I wish I had done like some sort of like a time lapse video of, because Dean Richards was talking about this morning. He had done Kiss makeup as well.
Oh.
So his whole, and he did like his whole, like going all the way back.
Oh,
and
God.
So he had like a black star around his eye and he had red lipstick. So I kept washing and washing. So I alternated between, you can use like oil base to take off oil. So I used coconut oil and then I would switch between Cetaphil and then oil base and then makeup remover. It took me 45 minutes to an hour to get it off. And I had it all the way down because I did the ribcage and the decolletage as well, my clavicle and everything. And again, that wasn't as good as I wanted. But yes, it took an extraordinary amount of time. And I felt like I was waterboarding myself.
Right. You're like standing.
I was sticking my face under the faucet. And, like,
you're like upside down under the shower head.
I alternated between washing my face. I was doing it over the sink because I didn't feel like getting in the shower. I just didn't feel like because then I had to clean the whole tub.
Right.
Now we're talking about surface, right? So I would alternate between washing my face and scrubbing the sink. Wash my face,
scrub the sink.
I had to get Dawn soap to break up the grease in the sink.
Oh God!
It was a long time. It was a long, and I don't know.
Did you spend more time taking it off, the makeup off, than putting it on?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I might have. It took me a long time to do the, I was, well, because with the skull, you make one line, you're like, oh, that's bigger than the other side. And then you try to fix the other side. And now you're on the other side and you keep going. And
yeah.
I don't know. It would be pretty similar.
It looked cool though.
I loved it.
The effort was worth it.
Well, can I tell you something? I don't know how I can explain this, but there was something wonderful and freeing about wearing makeup that looked cooler when I wasn't smiling. Resting bee face, I guess they call that, right? So I didn't have to smile. I look cooler to just have that like stern look.
Oh, that's neat.
Which I can't do in life because then people will think I'm mad.
Mm-hmm.
But because I smile so much, people, when I don't smile, people are like, oh, is everything okay?
Yeah, why are you mad?
Why are you mad? What's going on?
Why don't you smile?
I don't want to smile. So yesterday was kind of a break for me.
Yeah, it was nice.
I didn't realize like how much I was like, oh, I'm going to relax and have resting bitch face right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Resting skull face.
There you go.
That's what I had. It was resting skull
face
for anyone who's upset about that. Decorate for Thanksgiving always. Won't put up Christmas stuff until after Thanksgiving tradition, and make sure you visit the Walnut Room in December. Okay. I've never been. Okay. My mom might correct me on this, but I don't think I've ever done the Walnut Room.
You have to.
I saw it the other day. Paul and I grabbed lunch at that sort of like food court area that's down the hall from the Walnut Room.
Yeah.
But I've never eaten in the, I don't recall ever eating in the Walnut Room.
You absolutely have to. It's not like it's, I mean, you have to get the chicken pot pie. Because that's what you do. You get the chicken pot pie at the Walnut Room. And it's so cool. It's just the ambiance. You know, you're there. And they usually have some of the Disney characters dressed up. And they'll always have a fairy princess going around. And she'll sparkle you with fairy dust. And you make a wish.
What?
Yes.
This sounds like a local mini Disney World my mother never took me to.
It's so beautiful and so wonderful.
How often have you gone? Like, did you go as a little kid?
As a little kid, we used to go every year. So my mom and my mom would take me, and then either like my aunt and one of my cousins or one of her friends and then her daughter. So we do like, you know, kind of a girls' night kind of a thing. But it's for all, I would highly recommend it for all kids too.
I'm a kid at heart. You and I are both kids
absolutely,
at heart.
Absolutely, yeah.
I would love that. But not yet. Not until Christmas,
not
right?
Not till December. So
first Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes.
Then Christmas.
Celebrate Thanksgiving first. I know.
Christmas music is going to start any day.
Wait, so what do you put on the inside of your house?
We do a lot. We have the cornucopia. We have like banners. We have cool like Thanksgiving banners, and we have the dried corn. I'm trying to think of all the things. We have like orange autumn lights and things. The nice thing is a lot of Halloween decorations that aren't skull related or witch or bats or spiders and all those things. We have enough stuff, I think, that we can leave up.
I think that's
neat. Yeah, I like that.
Me too.
Let's run to the news. And when we come back, I do want to talk about this article that I think Stephanie and Michael shared. This was something that... I've never worried about when you're dating, who might be out of your league. Or I have a crush on somebody and I hope they'll like me. And if they don't, I'll just be miserable and I'll eat ice cream. No, I'll eat a lot of ice cream and watch a lot of movies. I'm so glad that Netflix was not around when I was dating.
Oh God, right?
Oh my, there's no, I would never leave. I'd be like, I'm going to watch this show I'm going to watch The Handmaid's Tale and decide that men are evil. You know, Andrea, some people think that there's a science to dating, and now scientists want to get involved in how desirable you might be or if someone's out of your league. I'm so glad that I'm married. Dating is like gambling.
Oh, God, I know.
You either get a jackpot or you get a crackpot.
I know.
I don't understand.
That's a great way to put it.
I don't understand. It's just like, I talk to my friends who are on like Tinder or
I know
Mumble or Bumble or whatever
I know.
It is.
I know.
Paul Farmer.
I know.
Yes. Oh, how about like Farmers Only and,
yes.
And Fish in the Sea? I don't know. All these different things. And the scientists have decided that they can measure your desire. Ability based on how many messages you receive on these online dating services and then they try to compare like who's out of, you know, maybe someone's out of your league.
Right.
I don't know. There's not a science to it.
No.
But there also doesn't seem to be any simple answer for folks who, you know, I feel bad for people who can't find someone.
I know. Seriously. And it used to be, I guess the best way was being introduced or, you know, not just random. But then again, I have friends who have completely met randomly or, you know, and online has been a huge success for
really?
Them. Married with kids. Yeah. But then I also have friends who, you know, she met this guy online. It's a friend. And, you know, she is. She's in the business. She met someone and he told her he was a doctor and they were getting very close. They were getting closer and closer. And it had been a couple of months and he would get calls in the middle of the night. Like, you know, his phone would go off or
sure,
he'd have to leave.
Patient.
He has to go to the hospital, uh-huh. Check on a patient. Exactly. He was married.
No!
Yes, he was married.
I mean, of course, but
and
no!
Had, yep, another family,
darn.
Like 6 blocks away.
Come on.
Yes, yes.
How do people live with themselves when they are this duplicitous?
Crazy. Think how much, like you have to tell one lie to one group,
yes.
One lie to another, and then just keep it going. You know, look how many people you're hurting.
That's crazy. I mean, people are, I guess, are that good at compartmentalizing of,
right.
You know, being one person to, you know,
right.
A woman that they want to, I guess, be physical with and then the person they have a life with. Or,
right. Right. I know.
It's
I know.
Very, very
but then
strange.
Again, you know, some people have found a lot of success and, you know, and are very happy relationships. But I'm with you, though. Honest to God, Patty, I'm like,
I can't.
I don't know who to trust.
No. Oh, I don't know who to trust. And the thing is, I haven't dated. And when I dated, it was always, I haven't dated in 23 years. I've been with my husband. I was with him for 5 years before we got married and we've been married for 18.
Okay.
So I was really young. We were both very young and, we just look at this world and I don't know how I ended up with this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know, like whatever, you know, forces in the universe just sort of made me, cause we are very opposite. He's an introvert and I'm an extrovert.
Yes.
And, for whatever reason, you know, he can see that the crazy's coming. And he's like, okay, well, that's happening. I'm going to go ahead and do something else for a little bit. You let me know when this is over.
Right. And you're like, hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but Steve says that being married to me is like, because I asked him one time. Something was happening and I was just losing my mind over something. And I stopped and I go, why did you marry me?
Yeah.
Why did this seem like a good idea? And he goes, well, it's kind of like being a storm chaser. I never know when a Category 4 is going to touch down, but I better have a camera because no one's going to believe that it's happening.
That's hilarious. And I wonder how long he had, like, had that, you know, saved up.
I know. Well,
that is funny, though.
It was, but so I don't know. Like, I feel so with this article, though, I do think in many ways Steve is out of my league.
Uh-huh.
So when I mentioned that, like, dating is like gambling, and he was my jackpot, and I was clearly the crackpot. And so the trick, so the trick is to pretend that you're the jackpot until they're able to tolerate the crackpot.
I
don't know about pretend, but like manage. I think manage the insanity.
Right. Like fake it till you make it.
Well, and like let it sort of dribble out, you know, like little hints of it. And so the first time he ever saw it, we were living together and he had decided to move. It was my apartment. And of course, when you move in, you have to accept that it's no longer just your apartment.
Right. It's joint.
Yeah. Only, you know, you get to have conversations, and he had decided to take my office and move it into the living room because he thought that, oh, I can't remember what the reason was, or was it that my office, he'll remind me later, but he did something where he moved all of my things, and you know, in retrospect, I'm sure he thought he was helping me.
Oh yeah.
But I was like, I didn't know where anything was. It wasn't, I had lived there for several years.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden my world was upside down. So I went over to all of his things, and I just started throwing like all of his papers. I'm like, let's see how you like it if I just move all your papers. I'm like, so I think that's where, I'm pretty sure that's where he got the tornado idea.
Okay, right.
Yes.
Right.
So it's like
did he move everything back? Or did he realize the error of his ways?
I can't remember how he settled it. I just remember, I could feel the crazy like creeping up my neck.
Yeah.
Like I could feel it like tightening up my jaw. I'm like, I can't, I'm not going to make it.
Right.
So I assure you, I dated and married out of my league because he's a kind and generous man.
Okay, now he probably would say the same thing though.
No. I mean, maybe. He might. I mean,
I think he would.
But I think that the idea that I make things interesting and exciting is that, you know, part of that. He has five sisters.
Okay. Is he the only boy?
He's the only boy.
Youngest? So where does he fall?
He's second to last.
Okay.
So he's a big brother and the younger brother of four sisters.
Right.
Right. So it's four, him, then the last sister. So I think that's part of what makes him a good man, you know, but.
Because he's used to dealing with, six women in the house, right?
Right. Plus his mom.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if, like, when someone, but I don't think you should ever feel like, but I never stood back and went, oh, this guy's not, he's too good for me.
Yeah.
I don't know that you should ever feel that way. If you are attracted to somebody, you know, find a way to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I say I let it out, I, you know, in drips and drabs, I mean, like I knew when I needed to manage myself.
Yeah.
And I, you know, 5 years, you figure out you're going to learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't trick him.
Right.
I don't think.
No, he knew.
Well, so find something you connect on, right? If you feel
like
someone's out of your league, right? So we connected on literature and movies.
Yep.
Obviously not music.
No, but you have to have, you know, this whole notion of opposites attract.
Right.
I really don't buy that completely. I mean, I think...
I agree.
You know, but you have to, like, you guys have similarities.
Yes,
you know, you have
absolutely
common interests, you know, things that you enjoy doing together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have similarities.
Yes. You have to find the things you connect on.
Yes.
So the other things that might have some disparity, whether it's where you think that maybe they make more money or they're more attractive or whatever it is that causes that idea that you're dating someone out of your league.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that scientists are maybe, and I'm guessing the scientists are working under some sort of auspice of we're going to make it easier for people.
Yeah. Are they saying that that's true, that some people truly do date out of their league, or some people actually are not in the same league?
They measure who's out of your league. And I don't know how they want you to use that information, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So if you see that, like, you know, whether or not you should go pursue somebody who is already receiving a lot of messages or a lot of interest, like, how do you cut through that noise?
Yeah.
Right? But that's, I mean, that's only for the online dating stuff. But that also kind of feeds into the idea that you shouldn't pursue. I mean, I guess, ultimately, don't be creepy.
Right.
Right. But who knows? But people don't often know that there's a self-awareness that's hard to measure, too.
Right.
Don't you
be
think?
Respectful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are people who think that you should take a chance every shot you have.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No. Feel them out. See if there's any possibility of mutual attraction.
Absolutely. Because I know, okay, physical qualities at first, you're going to be like, okay, you know what? This person is good looking, or, you know, there's going to be a physical quality that attracts you to them.
Right.
You know, eyes, smile, hair, whatever it might be, personality. And then you learn the internal, you know, the internal portion of it. And that's the emotional part.
Can we take a moment too? So we have the original article, the online dating site with researchers. So Michael, we adore you. We really do. But Michael has given us a scientific abstract, which has like all the data. So let me this is something we got during the show.
Okay.
So romantic courtship is often described as taking place in a dating market where men and women compete for mates. But the detailed structure and dynamics of dating markets have historically been difficult to quantify for lack of suitable data. In recent years, however, the advent and vigorous growth of the online dating industry has provided a rich new source of information on mate pursuit. We present an empirical analysis of heterosexual dating markets in four large U.S. So this is something I guess you and I are supposed, I guess we can dissect this before we finish.
You know what? Wait, when's the break?
Michael, I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure out how we can consume this, digest it, and make it presentable. Are we supposed to do a presentation? I don't have the laser point. I don't have the schematic. I don't have anything to show the audience. The PowerPoint was not available for everybody.
Have you ever done a PowerPoint, by the way?
No.
And I haven't either.
No.
I've tried, but I'm like, it's so confusing.
So we have the upper curve shows probability density for women and men of the median desirability gap, the difference in desirability rank of receiver and sender of an initial contact. Both women and men tend to contact others who are ranked somewhat, but not excessively, higher than themselves.
Andrea, we're going to read
this entire study on the air.
During the break.
No. We're doing it. Michael has given this to us, and I feel that it is important. Michael, what study is this?
So that's actually the study that the summarized article represents.
Right. I have the little one. You have the little. Oh, yes. Here you go. I'll give you this one. You take page two and go ahead and break that down for the audience.
Oh my goodness!
And we'll make that accessible to everyone.
I was never really good at charts. I was never good at economics because, like, the supply and demand chart.
Okay, macro and micro. Okay, guns and butter.
Oh, I don't remember guns and butter?
Did you have it at Folinger Hall?
I did.
Okay, so you had Econ 101.
I did, and I had missed. Oh, he was a great professor.
They did it in one semester with macro and micro, and now they divide it up into two.
Oh, my God, I was so confused.
It was horrendous. Supply and
demand. I might have gotten a C, but if I got a B in that class, I would have been thrilled.
We had a TA who did all the charts and diagrams, and he was like doing this whole eraser board thing, you know, the dry erase. And at one point, 40 minutes into the class, Andre, he stepped back and he looked at it and he goes, "You know what, everybody? Forget everything I just said. It makes no sense."
Did he really say
that? I was like, I raised my hand. I'm like, that's the whole semester.
That's it.
Can we say the same thing about the whole semester? None of it makes any sense.
It made no sense. It's funny. Yes. You just said the guns and the butter. Oh,
guns
God.
And butter.
Yes.
I was like, are you supposed to use the butter on the guns to make sure that it works right?
I didn't get any of it. I know supply and demand.
Yes.
That's about as much as I got out of macro and micro.
I was like, is there macaroni involved? Is there cheese?
Is there a treat?
This? Is there something? Can I put some, like, I need some hot sauce for this macaroni and cheese. Let me see. Anyway, let's continue with this
page
study.
12.
Yes, we are on figure four. We will download the high-res image now. Do mate seekers put more effort into attracting more desirable partners? On the basis of message content, there is some evidence that they do. So if you have a desirable, so you will work harder to create. Oh, so you feel the pressure of creating a you know, charming or witty message to somebody. That
right.
makes sense. That you think
that
is
does make sense.
Perhaps out of your league. So you'll work harder for them.
Right.
We're going to, Michael, I'm going to have this completely processed before we go to what's tell me something good.
So that's going to be pretty quick.
I hope so. And I will be grading both of you on this,
yes,
by the way.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be like guns and butter again.
Upper curves in the chart show the total number of words in initial messages, which increases the desirability gap.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you get a message that is too verbose, too many words in it, don't you kind of shut off?
I do. Are you kidding? Like, if there's, emails. I mean, I like our emails because, you know, we'll be like, what do you guys think of this? Yes, cool, good, you know, and I'm fine with that. But if someone pitches something and it goes longer mm-hmm. than a page, you lose me. Not well, you, but the person pitching loses me.
I agree. And if you can tell that it's copy and pasted. Now, I don't know if in this study, Michael, can you do a word search in this study and see if there's if they address the idea of copy and paste? Because if someone's casting a net, why wouldn't they just copy and paste this sort of like, you know, introduction to themselves and trying to lure somebody in?
Right.
You may as well just have like a standard, you know, you figure they're not, unless the women know each other or the men know each other, they're not going to be able to compare the data.
No, there's there's just too much going on.
And we continue with the data.
Sorry,
online dating has grown greatly in popularity in recent years and has become an increasingly common way for people to find romantic partners, edging out more traditional means such as meeting through coworkers or through family.
Yes.
Do you know anyone who's met through family?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't remember meeting anyone through... I don't know anyone else who's met through family.
I'm trying to think. I'd have to go through my cousins.
Well, I guess you often have people who are like, oh, I know someone who's great for you. You have like an aunt who tries to set you up.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I think that's probably... But I've never had to endure that. I think that's intense. Because if you have a family member do it, they also have access to all of your embarrassing moments.
That's true, too.
So if they ever get mad at you and you end up liking somebody, then they can torture you or blackmail you.
Right.
See, that's not healthy.
No, not at all. But I'm trying to think if anybody, if family,
Yeah, I don't know.
Boy, I'd have to think about that.
Michael, have you ever been set up by somebody in your family? Your brother?
I remember my dad, he works at a bank and he would always try to set me up with the tellers all the time, blind dates. And he was about blind dates for like 3 years.
Did you go on any of them?
It was more like I'd go to the bank and he'd say, here's the girl I was talking about, little Sunny. And I'd be like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then it stopped right there. No, never any dates. I've actually never even been on a blind date before, so I don't even know what that's like.
Me neither. Never been
me
on a
neither.
Blind date. Oh,
no.
Thank God. I have good friends. I, on the other hand, am not a good friend. Okay, before we go to the break. Full disclosure. Lou Manfredini, I'm so sorry. I have to tell the audience this. So Lou sent over a plumber. Right. So I messaged him one time and I'm like, hey, do you know anybody good? He's like, oh, yeah, I got a really good guy. And he goes, and he's easy on the eyes.
OK.
Right. So the guy comes over and he does. And the work was fine. But he tried flirting with me.
Oh, gosh.
Right. And he was like, oh, I was just trying to take my chances. Right. But it was innocuous enough at the time. This is probably the boys were little. So probably about 12 years ago. And but I thought, you know what? Oh, my God, I'm a terrible human being. My poor neighbor. So I set him up on a date with my neighbor. And
you didn't even really know him.
No, but Lou did.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? So you figure.
So he vouches for him. So, yeah.
That's what I figured. And my neighbor dates him and she goes, Patty. She goes, there was a point where he was telling me about being in Vegas with his friend and how, like, you know, when you're in Vegas and you got to try hookers.
Oh, my God.
She was like, on a blind, on a first date.
And he was telling her about hookers.
Oh, my girl. Yeah, it was.
There was not a second date?
No.
Okay.
No.
Didn't think so.
And then I set her up. Oh, Andrea.
Different guy, right?
Carm.
You set her up with Carm?
Yeah. Carm doesn't remember the date. That's how awful.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wait, this is the same girl?
Same girl.
You set her up with the plumber and then Carm.
Carm was fine. They just hung out and like talked sports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Of course, because Carm
is such a good guy.
He is a really good guy. He was younger. This was a long time ago. So Carm was younger. And he regrets now some of the things that he may have said. But yeah.
On that date.
No, after the date.
Okay, got it.
And I teased him about it for a while, but Carm and I are now really, really good friends.
And Carm is a serious girlfriend.
Yes.
And does the girl...
She's married
now.
Oh,
she's married.
Yes.
Okay,
and she's the one I talked about when you know someone that you adore and you can't understand why they can't find someone, but she did. She found her lid.
Yay. Yeah. She found her lobster.
She did.
Aww.
And then I connected Elliot with somebody and that was disastrous.
Oh no.
Oh, I'm the worst. Never, ever, except with the very small exception of my husband's best friend. So my husband's best friend actually asked me out first.
Oh my gosh, I think you told the story one time. And
I said, no, but I know someone you would love and they're married now.
Yes.
And they've been married for 23 years.
And are you guys still all friends together?
Sure, we could say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they live in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
So it's harder. It's much harder. But so that's the only one. So because of, but see, can you see how my ego would get ahead of me and think, yes, oh, they're married. Of right. course I can do this.
So why not? It just, you know what? It all depends on them. Oh, just like if there's that spark or not.
Elliot will definitely confirm that I am not allowed to set anyone up. Not ever. No.
Never.
No. Between my neighbor and Elliot, I'm sure there are other victims in this horrible mess of my matchmaking.
But... All right. So anybody out there, if Patty ever says,
oh, I know someone perfect for you.
No.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No. Because I've done it now at least 3 to 4 times. Four times.
Oh, no.
Twice with Elliot and twice with Jen. So those were.
But one for four. We were 1 for 4.
And then the first one was good. Five. So out of five. One, okay. One out of five. What's the.
25%? No, wait.
20. 20. Yeah, 20%. That's not good.
That's not bad.
It's not good. If it was my batting average, you bat 200, I might be able to stay, but they ain't gonna put me in the batting order.
No.
I'm not at the top. I'm not in the top four. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlos. Give us a call and tell us what you're celebrating tonight. Tell me something good. More in a moment. 720 WGN.